Yo, what's up, guys? JB here. Today is Saturday, June 8th, 2013, and we are back with a new round of our Saturday night contest. This week, we are hosting a roundtable discussion. And if you've listened to these before, you've seen we've done a bazillion of these before with some of the best and most creative minds in the magic industry, from Jason England to Steve Cohen to Apollo Robbins to Chris Kenner to Homer Leeuwag and kind of everyone in between. Each time we do this, we invite you guys to ask the questions in the forums. You post the questions. I'm not asking the questions. Well, technically, I'm asking the questions. I'm not asking my questions. I'm asking your questions. So over the course of the past few hours, you guys submitted your questions to Mr. Zach Heath. Zach is the creator of Circuit, which is the newest DVD release at Theory 11, which is an effect where Ring teleports and jumps from one finger to another that looks like a camera trick, and it's not, and it's amazing. And Zach is on the line with me right now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing lovely. I'm doing lovely. And we have a mountain of questions for you that were submitted, like 160 to 175 questions and rising as we continue to talk. So the goal is to get to as many questions as possible, if that's cool with you. And we will try to jump through these questions. And there are all sorts of topics about how you started in magic, how you created Circuit, and do you have a cameo appearance in the new Superman film as Lex Luthor?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions across the board. So we'll get to it right now, and we'll start. There's a good first question I saw submitted by Dan the Card Tricker, D-A-N-N, maybe Danny, Dan the Card Tricker. Post number's 3, and he says, "How long did it take to come up with Circuit?" So to expand his question a little bit, can you just give us a flyby of what was the process of creating this effect?
Thanks for the question, Daniel San. The core principle used in Circuit was actually just a glorious accident that just happened to fire off a neuron that I otherwise probably would have never used. And that was the spark that motivated me into pushing the idea to its limits and see what, if anything, useful came out of the pursuit. So I spent the next few months doing exactly that, exploring every avenue with the routine before, you know, distilling it into the core phase of Circuit. And that's what the original demo that I submitted to Theory 11 was. Now, no more than a week later, I was on Skype showing my ugly ball of clay to Dan White, to my surprise. And we talked about the effect and how it could be rounded out into something a little more substantialicious. And I spent the following year trying to further expand kind of on that basic idea. There's many dead ends, and but when it, you know, finally came time to shoot, I was confident that I finally had something that magic community at large could benefit from.
Yeah, I think what was really valuable about that whole process that we went through in Circuit is it wasn't something that, you know, you just created and then we put it on a DVD. It was something that you created, you refined, you refined again. And it was, you know, a full year from the time of submitting it to the time or more until this was released. So throughout that process and just time, not being rushed to release something, that's what really helped to refine it and improve it. And I think the result is very evident if you watch the preview video. But just to make it said, the original raw video, I still have it, that Zach sent to us, looks unbelievable and looks just as deceptive in every possible way as the preview video, the final preview video that we produced. The video quality is not so cool and the music isn't quite as cool, but the trick is just as deceptive and just as amazing. So it wasn't like, you know, we had to do too much work. It's just a matter of taking something good and making it great, which is usually the challenge when you're creating anything. So I think what I took from that is it's reminded me that if you don't rush into things, if you take your time and improve and refine things, then they do get better. And so if you're creating something and you're listening to this, take the time to test it, refine it, test it again, refine it until you know that it's as good as it can be.
I fully agree. I mean, being comfortable with something for a long period of time is something that, young magicians or people just starting to create their own magic seem to have trouble with. It's hard not to get enthusiastic about something that is yours. But I assure you that if you just give it a little time, to mature into something, more powerful, better structure, then the rewards reflect that, definitely.
And then, and sometimes you might be really, really excited about something and think it's the best thing in the world, but then you perform it for people and you realize that that enthusiasm isn't necessarily reciprocated. So then you got to go back to the drawing board and, like, what didn't hit about this? What could I improve
Oh.
more? Why do people not get that? And so actually doing things and testing things is kind of the only way to really refine something. There's only so much you can do by yourself before you bring it to the world, test it, get some constructive feedback, and improve it.
Definitely. I had many a lukewarm response trying to, show off things that I'd worked on for maybe a few weeks or a month. And that, it can be frustrating, but that should be the motivator instead of something that turns you off to trying to create your own magic.
So, sp speaking of creating, actually, this is more so about performing or learning magic. There's a post number 6 by D at N, and he's at, I guess that's Dan, and he's saying, "What is a good starting point for breaking into ring magic?" So, if you're just, I know you talk a lot about this actually in the Circuit DVD. You talk about other sources for learning really great ring magic. Can you give a flyby of that right now of other sources in addition to Circuit for if you're just now starting in ring magic?
Sure. I mean, Garrett Thomas, if you haven't seen his, he has this, he does this thing with the ring. What's it called?
I forget, it's the ring thing. Ring thing.
Oh, how appropriate. Jeez, come on, Jonathan. No, he's got, a routine involving a ring that, penetrates back onto fingers, tossed back up. It's pulled off and then tossed back up onto the finger, and it's a great routine. And his work with a ring just totally telegraphs his familiarity with that prop. I mean, it's got a lot of things on his DVD that really work well and in harmony with the things taught on Circuit. But there's a lot of other good magic out there. There's been some recent releases. Guy with the cowboy hat, David J, has something out that's kind of along the same lines as the effects taught in Ring Thing and Circuit. But Dan Haas has worked on some ring stuff. And I also heard whispers of Patrick Kuhn working on something.
It's possible. I cannot confirm or
We're not at
or
alert.
confirm that.
Right. I understand.
Awesome. That's good. But and just to expand on what you just said, there is a lot more of that that's in the Circuit DVD that Zach talks about other sources. He actually holds up other DVDs within the Circuit DVD of other things that we want to recommend of if you want to further your knowledge of ring magic. Tracing back a little bit, go back in a time machine requested by Cardist 4467, post number 9. Who or what got you started in magic?
Let's go with who. There is a gentleman in the town that I'm now back home in that runs the radio station up here. His name is Harold Wright, and he came to our school and did some real classic magic, vanishing birdcage. He did, the Erdnase color change, and a real warm personality that just brings you in, and it was impossible to resist the urge to go find some books at my local library. So I spent, I mean, I even remember, I think it's like the 793s in the Dewey Decimal System. Spent my many hours back there just sitting Indian style in front of that shelf, getting as much as I could of it. But on TV, Mr. Copperfield is is obviously a force, and many magicians walks with magic, and I'm no exception to that.
There's a good parallel question to that, just to extend that, and it's posted by Zen Darkfire in sunny Orlando. And his question, which is definitely a great takeoff of exactly what you just said, he says, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Well, that is definitely a very valid valid question in this context. That being said, it's a hard question to answer because I can't see myself wanting to fight 100 duck-sized horses. I would just want to collapse on the ground and roll around in them.
I would want to ride all of them.
Well, you would probably kill. You know that. Okay.
I'm very lightweight. It would be fine. They could probably support my weight.
But the duck-sized horse, that's a little harder. I would only fight it in the hopes that eventually I would tame it and be able to ride it.
This is a good, more constructive question, perhaps. What is the, by Rob Tabris, post number 16, what's the craziest or best reaction you've got when performing circuit? Is this something that usually gets a great, like a vocal reaction from spectators? Sometimes effects that are good get more of a silent, stunned reaction. Sometimes they get more of a crazy, you know, vocal reaction. What has your experience typically been when performing this routine?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the reactions to it, you know, they run the gamut that you just mentioned. I mean, you said vocal people screaming expletives and running off. The most memorable one for me, and for reasons unknown even to myself, was from Paul Cummins. I had performed the routine for him. You know, I'd worked on it for over a year at this point, and I felt like I was ready, and I performed the routine for him, and he just stared at me with this this deadpan stare, and he said, "Well, that's it." And it was a cheeky response. He loved it, but he was basically saying that it was very impressive, to the point where he didn't have much else to say.
That's funny. That's great.
I assume, Paul, if you really were unimpressed, feel free to correct me on that.
Post In Flames 33, post number 18. If you are performing circuit, should you get the size ring of your ring finger when you purchase this, or should you get the size ring of your index finger? Ring finger or index finger is what he's asking. Is it one of those? Is there a different suggestion you'd have? What would your advice be?
Well, the index and pinky, you don't really need to worry too much about how the ring fits on them. But the middle and ring finger are actually pretty close to the same size. I personally, my middle finger is slightly thicker, so that's where I keep the ring, and it stays on there. But the fit is about the same. But I'd say if you want to make sure that you're not losing it from it slipping off, or even worse, slipping through your fingers, that you just size it to your middle finger.
So sizing to the middle finger or the ring finger, I guess, would be the recommendation, not regarding the pointer finger or pinky, you said.
Right, yeah.
There's a good question here. XC Magician, post number 24. At what age did you get into magic, and what was the first trick you learned? You mentioned that you spent a lot of time in libraries and stuff. What age were you when that happened, and what was the first trick, if you remember the first trick that you actually learned?
I've got a couple pictures. It gets a little foggy as we go back in my twisted history, but five is the best estimate I can make, and it seems like most magicians that are truly passionate about it all start about at that same age. But the first trick I performed, I had an old Houdini magic set, plastic props and everything, and also, you know, later on I got into the Magic Works. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Michael Weber involved with those?
I don't know.
You remember those?
I don't know. Well, I don't remember.
There's like a crystal casket. There's these little boxed sets. You can find similar things like that in Walmart to this day. But yeah, that was the kind of stuff that just fascinated me. But yeah, it was the same classic story, I'd say.
The classic story of 5-year-olds becoming passionate in magic.
I wish mine was more exceptional. I'm sorry, I don't have anything else in there.
Let's see here. There's a post here that you, I guess you touched on earlier, but I guess specifically Sasha Crespi, post number 29. What was the hardest part of perfecting circuit? You mentioned that it's been this long process. What was the hardest part of that process?
I think the hardest part, or the biggest challenge, was trying to minimize the amount of movement needed, to accomplish the effect. I've watched a couple videos of people working on the routine, and it's not too far off from how it looked when I was working on it, but it's taking out, trimming the fat off those movements so that it's smooth and direct, and it doesn't put the scent of method in the air. That's the phrase I like to use.
I'll just keep moving here. Parker Magic, post number 35. Have you ever gone into card magic? So do you have a, obviously circuits are ring magic effect. Do you have some affinity for other genres of magic as well? Coin magic, card magic. Are there other genres of magic that you like as well?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think any kind of magic, when done well, is very entertaining. I mean, I enjoy all breeds of it. I do think that cards are the prop that binds us all together. I mean, I can't remember a magician that I saw that couldn't have a deck of cards put in his hand and be able to do something with it. So I think we can all relate through that prop. But yeah, I love all kinds of magic.
How do you know, by his is a post by Heated Jeans, post number 41. How do you know when an effect you created is ready for release?
I would say whenever you can go out and perform just for an average schmo, and they don't feel compelled to question how it works or think about that. They're just overcome by that sensation of wonder, where they look at you and their pupils dilate or roll back into their head because their brain is misfiring because of what you've just, shown them. That's definitely a good place. Or if you can impress a fellow magician, and understandably, different things will impress magicians than a layperson, that's a great thing as well. But I think the trial by fire is definitely going out and performing for real people.
There's a post here by ATH, post number 44. What else do you do besides magic? What are your other hobbies, skills, or talents?
Oof. Well, I love art, ambigrams. I'm fond of.
We did see that. You posted this really amazing, if you missed it, you can check Theory 11 on Twitter, and you posted this amazing, what do you call it, ambigram?
Yeah, ambigram
It
or
was just,
inversion,
yeah, it
depends
was
on
just
which
sweet.
camp you're part of.
That's the thing. That's not like a haiku. It's actually just a design thing where you can take it's an illustration that if you twist it around 180 degrees, it still says the same thing and it looks awesome. Really, really well done.
Yeah, so I enjoy that. I got a bunch of examples of that on my Facebook. You're more than welcome to dig through, assuming you're not a stalker of sorts. But music, I love music also. But yeah, just anything creative where there's not a whole lot of restrictions, and art is definitely the ideal.
Post number 49, unmeasurable 24. Have you ever messed up a trick in front of an audience? If so, what do you do?
Well, it depends on the situation, definitely. I think the first magic show that I did for the public library. I think I was 8 years old or so, and I was doing a cheek-to-cheek deck. And basically, what happens is, you shuffle the cards, they select a card, and turn it upside down in a deck that's been shuffled half face up, half face down. And then miraculously, the cards write themselves, except the one card. Well, I needed someone to shuffle the cards, and I had I just assumed that everyone, every 8-year-old could shuffle cards with prowess, and that was simply not the case. So I called a little girl up on the stage. I was a little boy, but she was the same size at the time. She came up and asked her to shuffle the cards, and she proceeded to place them on her stomach and smear them around, which I could assume.
That's actually, I think that's straight out of Erdnase. It's the Erdnase belly, yeah. Belly mush shuffle.
I'll have to check my sources.
It's coming, so there's a Jason England download of it that we're working on.
She dropped some cards, and then there ended up being, you know, more than one revelation, which was not part of my plan. But what do you do in that case? At the time, I was not prepared for that. I just had to swallow my pride and carry on. And then from there on, it seemed like the only solution was to be prepared, you know, for those situations, to know what you're doing, to know the moves you have to go through, how to prepare, how to get into and out of an effect. If you know there are certain things that can go wrong and are more likely to happen in the course of a routine, then, like, say, for instance, dropping a card, then having a line to take the pressure off or put your audience at ease for a second while you get back on track is priceless.
Yeah, I think usually I think asking any magician that actually performs for people, have you ever messed up a trick before? It's like, well, you mean in the past 5 minutes or in the past 5 hours? Because yeah. Either way, the answer is yes. Because, you know, no matter how experienced you are in magic, if you're doing anything often, you're going to have issues with something's going to mess up inside or outside of your control. And just by performing a lot, you're able to minimize the things that go wrong. It's just it's the difference between watching a performer that has performed a show 10 times, which might sound like a lot, but then you see a performer that's done that same show 10,000 times or literally 1,000 times. I mean, Steve Cohen performs his show at the Waldorf Astoria 6 times every weekend. Copperfield's performing his show 600 times per year. So even in shows like that, things still go wrong. And so then the question is, what do you do when it goes wrong? Do you have a plan in place for what happens when things go wrong? Do you have the confidence as a performer to know what to do and manage the audience when something goes wrong so that the audience either A, doesn't even notice it, or B, doesn't really care because you're being so entertaining that it's just a part of the show and they don't really, it's not a big deal. Whereas if the show is all about the tricks and not about you as a performer, then yes, it actually is more of a big deal when something goes wrong or you drop a prop or something of that nature. So I think it's just a matter of managing audiences and experience. And but if you are performing enough and you perform often, you will definitely have, it's a part of the process of messing something up, and that's not a bad thing. Just you learn from it and then you evolve from it from there.
Well, that was very comprehensive, Jonathan Bame. I don't even know why I'm here.
So this concludes the interview with myself. No.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep going. We have time for one more question, and then I know you've got to go. I wanted to leave people.
No problem.
A lot of people ask the same question, but what can they expect next from Mr. Zach Heath? Are you working on other ring magic effects? Are there other genres of magic that you're working on other different effects for right now? What can they expect from you next after they've learned circuit?
Definitely the rings, the quest for, you know, charting more of the ring tour territory, which I think is highly underexplored. It continues. I mean, I've got some things that I'm working on that will go hand in hand with circuit. So if you feel like this, circuit needed more or needed to have more body to it, I think in due time, we're going to have some things that will suit you.
Great. But yeah, last but not least, I just wanted to say thanks to you for answering all of these questions in this little miniature interrogation. And I wanted to thank all of our members for submitting. I think we're up to 175, 180 questions submitted for this. We tried to get to as many as we possibly could, provided the time length we had. And I thought we answered some really good stuff, touched on some really interesting subjects about the history of this effect, the effect itself of circuit. Obviously, before I go, I wanted to to plug this effect. If you have not watched it already, if you have not learned this effect, I cannot recommend this more. It's a extremely practical effect, extremely visual effect that you'll literally have on you at a moment's notice. You know, potentially even do this with the spectator's ring. It's something that is extremely powerful, but also really practical. It's not some crazy thing you're gonna have to have on you under crazy lighting conditions. It's just something that's super simple and really pretty and very deceptive, as you can see in the preview video. Actually, it's that good that we are actually sold out of it right now in most of the ring sizes, but we are expecting another big shipment of circuit rings in later this week on Theory 11. So if you're listening to this after this week, ignore everything I just said, but if you're listening to this June 8th, 2013 tonight, we're actually sold out of most of the sizes right now, but we have some sizes in stock now and we're getting more in and more sizes in later this week. But thanks to the members for posting all the questions. And Zach, thank you for sticking through and answering all of these. It was awesome.
Oh, man. No, thank you, Jonathan. You are the bane of my existence. Well, I've actually been working on that for quite a while. That's why circuit got delayed.
You're working on your puns.
I'm sorry.
It's a difficult process. Thank you, Zach, for in all seriousness, for answering all these questions, for sticking with us. And thanks again to the members for posting all your questions. And stay tuned next week for another Saturday Night Contest. Everyone have a great weekend and talk to you soon.